Well, in the wake of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, it seems that Hollywood's finally caught on. There are a lot of Christians out there who like movies, and they're making movies with more explicitly Christian themes. One of them is this new one by the Hughes brothers called The Book of Eli. Hughes brothers made Menace to Society and From Hell. And this movie, The Book of Eli, features some pretty interesting Christian thematics. It's set in a post-apocalyptic America, so it's as though the atomic war went on maybe 30 years before. And it's the landscape is just littered with the detritus of the burnt-out civilization. The main character is played by Denzel Washington, and he's called Eli, and we discover that he's defending the last extant copy of the Bible. And he's willing to defend it, by the way, with his pretty impressive martial arts skills and skills with knives and all this. In the first 20 minutes, he kills about 20 people defending the Bible. He comes to the attention of a character called Carnegie, who's like a local warlord. He's played by the always watchable character actor Gary Oldman. But Carnegie wants the Bible because he's one of the few people around who can still read, and that if he can use the sort of incantatory phraseology of the Bible, he thinks he can manipulate people. He says very clearly that book is a weapon, so he wants to use it to manipulate and to dominate. Well, after a lot of adventures, Carnegie manages to get the Bible from Eli. And after the struggle of opening it, it was closed by a very elaborate clasp. He discovers, much to his chagrin, that it's the Bible indeed, but written in Braille. We discover that Eli, in fact, is blind and has been, over the past 30 years, carefully memorizing the text of the Bible. Eli makes his way west, even after he's lost the Bible. We're not really clear why. He makes his way west to the ruins of San Francisco, and he comes to Alcatraz Island. He announces to the guards there as he arrives, "I've got a copy of the King James Bible." He's introduced to an old man who is organizing there a sort of library that's preserving the little bits of civilization that are still around. He has texts of Shakespeare, he has records of Mozart, and so on. But the treasure he really wanted was the Bible. Eli says to him, "Bring lots of ink and lots of paper." And he lies down then on a bed, and he recites from memory the whole King James Bible, which is then taken down by this man. And then it's printed up, and it becomes the centerpiece of this library, which we trust will in time eventually re-civilize the world. So it's a fascinating movie, I think, about the relationship between the Bible and civilization. I read that burnt-out landscape, that post-apocalyptic barren landscape, as evocative of our own culture now, with the fading of a keen sense of moral rectitude, that certain things are right, certain things are wrong, with a fading of the authority of the Bible, of the Word of God that speaks the deepest truths about ourselves, about the world, about God. With the fading of that, we move into this sort of bleak, lifeless, intellectual and cultural landscape. Pope Benedict has complained a lot about what he calls the dictatorship of relativism. He means this kind of bored indifferentism in a lot of academic and intellectual circles. Who knows the truth? Who knows what's right and wrong? And from this indifferentism, there follows, I think, a sapping of vitality, a sapping of civilizational energy. So I think that the movie is asking us to reflect on that relationship between a clear sense of truth, of moral truth, and of God's will, and the flourishing of a civilization. You know, the ending of the movie struck me as particularly interesting because it's a apocalyptic evocation of a time that really did exist in our civilizational, our cultural history, namely the period just after the fall of Rome. After Rome falls in the late 5th century, Europe did descend into cultural chaos. The only order there was maybe maintained by petty warlords like Carnegie in the movie, controlling little bits of territory. Political, economic, cultural order collapsed. But during this calamitous time that was rightly called the Dark Ages, there was one light. And the one light was the church. Because in monasteries, Benedictine monasteries scattered throughout Europe, some of which were, as in the movie, on islands off the coast of England and Ireland, kind of at the edges of civilization. In these little havens, Western civilization was preserved by Christian monks. The only reason we have access today to Plato's Republic or Aristotle's Ethics or the Iliad and the Odyssey or any work of classical literature, the only reason we have that is that faithful monks, during a calamitous time, a time of cultural collapse, preserve these texts. At the center of the monks' concern was the preservation of the Bible, of the Word of God, because they recognized it as the truth around which all the other truths of philosophy and literature and history and science find their proper place. It was this literary culture centered on the Bible that eventually re-civilized Europe. Now, our time is not quite as calamitous as the Dark Ages, but it is characterized by this, I'd say, loss of a center, this loss of attentiveness to the Word of God. I wonder whether, in their own way, the Hughes brothers are drawing our attention to the need once again to concentrate upon the Word of God.